Before we begin, welcome to the Lord's Day. It is our great privilege and responsibility on this day to worship the risen Lord, Jesus Christ. Let us spend a moment in a time of silence as we prepare our hearts and minds to worship him. The community comes together for our announcements first. Okay, before we begin, we have several announcements. Some are in your chimes. If you notice, please, although it seems kind of weird, the pink sheets for the poinsettias already. So if you want a poinsettia to decorate the front of our church, please fill out the pink sheet of paper. Also, decorating the church on November 28th. So if you can help, please fill that out and put your phone number. You can always use an extra set of hands. Also, if you look at the back of your chimes, the minister's office hours are there. Women's Bible study will be at 7. Wednesday, kids, Christian Kids Club from 4 to 6. And elders, the meeting is at 6 o'clock on Wednesday. It's so noted in the bulletin, but we want to make sure that all the elders pay attention to that time. So it's 6 o'clock on Wednesday. And then the choir's on at Thursday at 6:45. Please notice the junior youth group will meet today. Senior youth group will meet next Sunday, and then the Thanksgiving Festival choirs, I'm not sure when the date of that is, next Sunday at 6 o'clock. Are there any other announcements? The community comes together to serve God and worship. Our opening hymn is in the Chalice Hymnal, number 21, Let the Whole Creation Cry. As each day dawns, we receive a new illustration of God's grace. The night is ended, the sun shines, the past is behind us, and God offers us another day of opportunity and possibility. More than that, God promises to be around us and within us, equipping us for each new challenge. Come, let us worship the Lord, our God, as we pray. We honor you, Almighty God, as our creator and provider, as our help in times of trouble, as our savior in all seasons, as the loving author of all our joys, Accept our praise and worship, we pray, in the name of Jesus our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Comes together to share tithes and offerings. Let us be grateful not only for the blessings we receive, but also for the opportunity to make a difference in our world. Let us use this opportunity as we present our offerings. Our offertory hymn is in the Chalice Hymnal, number 383, Savior, Thy Dying Love.
God of miracles, we ask that you will use all good means to produce miracles from these gifts. that these dollars may become Bibles that inspire, messages that transform, bricks that provide places of worship, food that feeds body and soul, and acts of kindness that warms the heart. Amen.
Community proclaims the word of God. Our scripture reading this morning is in Exodus chapter 16, verses 9 through 21. That's the Old Testament, page 63 in your pew Bibles. Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining." And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread, and then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. In the evening quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, 'What is this?' For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather as much of it as each of you needs, an omer to a person according to the number of persons, all providing for those in their own tents.' The Israelites did so, some gathering more, some gathering less. But when they measured it out with an omer, those who gathered much had nothing over, and those who gathered little had no storage. They gathered as much as each of them needed. And Moses said to them, 'Let no one leave any of it over until morning.' But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and became foul. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning they gathered it, as much as each needed. But when the sun grew hot, it melted." The anthem this morning by our sanctuary choir is Psalm 20.
Psalm 20, we read, "May he send his help from the sanctuary and grant you support." We think of the sanctuary as a beautiful place, such as we are right today, gathered together, where we can meet God. In Israel, it was the temple, the place where the Israelites came to get their thoughts straightened out, to get their thinking corrected. There they met with God, and there they heard the word of God, and the mind and the thoughts of God. For us, the sanctuary can be the scriptures. That's where we get our help. It is there that our minds are illuminated. There's not one of us who has not already learned that life is not always what we expect it to be. The beginning of our song says, "May he answer you in the day of your trouble, and may he set you safely on high." So may you find help in the sanctuary, in the scriptures, as the psalmist prayed, that your eyes might be enlightened and that you might understand.
Thank you. Good morning. And welcome to the Christian Church of Connellsville on this beautiful Sunday morning. Indeed, the Lord does send us victory in each day as we gather together to sing His praises and to pray in His name. It is a wonderful day indeed, and day to give thanks and to be grateful for. As we gather this morning, we give thanks for each day of life. We know all too well that they are not guaranteed, and we'd want this morning to lift up into prayer our friend Sally Harvey, for whom we've prayed for many years. This past week went to be with God, and we do rejoice that she's beyond pain. We know that she has had a difficult last several years of her life, and we give thanks that her faith remains strong and carried her to her new home with God. So we want to give thanks for that, but pray then for the family of Sally Harvey. We also want to give thanks today as our junior youth group prepares to put together their shoe boxes, and they're doing this as part of Operation Christmas Child. They will be sent abroad and opened by, well, if there's 20 shoe boxes, 20 children who will enjoy a wonderful gift at time of Christmas. As it said in the information that Cheryl and Janice have passed out, each shoe box is like a missionary, giving the word of Christ to each child, but not only that, showing them a tangible love, which is really, I think, the idea behind it. I mean, we could send Bibles to children. We can send tracts and things of that nature that will educate them or teach them about Christ. But really, what is really being sent is love, that children across the world are taking their time to do this. But also, of course, it was adults, many adults who gave the gifts, gave the items, gave money, and also of course, Cheryl and Janice, who gave their time in organizing this. So today I hope that we will pray for the youth group as they engage in this activity, and then pray also for the boxes as they go forth, that they will touch the hearts and lives of many people and spread the gospel. There are bookmarks in the narthex over in the entranceway by the parking lot that you're welcome to take, and they have little prayers on them that you may also take as you may pray for the shoebox as they travel, spreading the gospel of love through the world. And we know all too well that the world needs love. We've always known that, but we especially know that today, in the wake of the shootings in Paris and the bombing of Paris as well. We want to continue to, because I know they've already been in your hearts and prayers, we want to continue to keep the people of Paris and France in your prayers as well. And indeed, the people of the world, that we respond and do so in a way that overcomes evil and fear and hatred and violence. And I share with my Sunday school class to share with you also one of the touching stories. In the midst of a tragedy and in the midst of a terrible thing, there's always some type of story you hear that really gets your heart. And for me, it was hearing that as people were scared and people were terrified, the people of Paris opening their doors and telling them to come in, just to get off the street, and they didn't know anybody, and they didn't check any IDs, and they didn't ask for any information. They just welcomed them off the street for a safe haven, and I pray that we will continue to make the church a safe haven for those who are in fear and worry and driven by terror in this world. More importantly, I pray that we will all just keep our hearts open to the love that God has and the way it can change this world, for it is the only thing that will overcome the evil. I do love the song that the choir sang today, as always, but especially today. Some will trust in armies and weapons, but we will trust and boast in the name of the Lord, and I pray that we will all continue to do that. What other joys and concerns do we have to share this morning? What else do we want to give thanks for, and what do we want to ask God for today? Heidi? Thanks that Casey and Jocelyn are back. We will pray for their luggage. I don't know if that works or not, but we'll try. And pray for Elizabeth Becker in England and Scotland now until next month. Keep her in our prayers. Thank you for sharing that. Cheryl? Pray for Pat Stout battling cancer. She's in McGee Hospital. And thank you for sharing that today. Are there any others? Sharon? That's a wonderful joy. Thank you for sharing that. We rejoice with Patty and her family and with you. Thank you for sharing that good news. Jesse? Perhaps the Lord has work for you here and time to rest, and hopefully you'll get to go in the spring. Thank you for sharing that with us today. Seeing none other, let us take a moment of silence as we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, we come to you this day on a beautiful morning, and our minds are filled with joy and also worry and fear. And we know, Lord, we can go to you with all things and all troubles. There's nothing we can hold back from you, for that you know all things. And we give thanks for this. Because in our lives, we often are tempted to hold back, to not speak our minds or our hearts, to hide things from others. We know that there is no point in doing so with you. And so as we pray to you this morning, we open our hearts to you just as they are. We open our minds to you just as they are. We lift up all that we are and we pray, not that you will act, but that we will know. For we know that you are always acting in this world, that your spirit is a spirit of love, a spirit of joy, a spirit of healing. And we want our world filled with those things. And so often they are not. But it is not because you are not acting. It's because we are not following. Help us, Lord, to follow. Help us to be loving. Help us to open our hearts to others. Help us to share your gospel. And help us also, Lord, to try and understand. Because we know that the things that we see in our television set, the things that have happened in Paris and around the world, we know that we are not doing them. Help us to understand how we might help make a difference. And help us to keep our faith when other people act in a way that is beyond despicable. That we will not lose our faith in you and also not lose our faith in one another. Help us to continue to see not only that a better world is possible, but because of the work, saving work of your Son Jesus Christ, a better world is inevitable. May we continue to live in that hope. May we continue to respond in love. That we don't take steps back, but move forward. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to heal those who have been wounded, to heal the hearts of those who have been broken, and to open the hearts of those who are filled with hate. That they may know that they have made the wrong choice. They have gone down the wrong road. That you are the one they should follow. And Lord, if there's anything that we can do to make that possible, show us how. We give you thanks for all the opportunities you have given us to do your will and to do your work. We give you thanks for the shoeboxes that will go out that will share your love, your mercy, and your grace. We pray that as they travel, they will be blessed and be a blessing. We pray that they will bless us as well. That in the making of them and in the sharing of our goods, the sharing of our wealth, the sharing of our time, we see how the world is made better. How lives are touched and healed, even our own. So we pray healing for the world. We pray healing for ourselves, for those of us who are sick and those of us who are disappointed and those of us who are lost. We pray for the Harvey family. We give you thanks that Sally's faith is strong and has carried her home to you. We give you thanks that she's beyond pain. Help her family to be strengthened and healed and consoled. We pray the same for Pat. We know that she has had a long struggle. We pray for her comfort. We pray for her strength. We pray for her healing. We pray for her doctors. But above all, we pray that her faith will be strong as well in the face of this battle. And we give you thanks that you've given us good news, signs of hope, that Patty is well and cancer-free. We celebrate with her, rejoice with her, rejoice with Sharon and her friends. We pray that that may be the case for others as well. And we also give you thanks, Lord, when things don't go our way, when we don't get what we want or what we expect, because sometimes we know that you have other things for us. We give you thanks for Elizabeth as she is safe, that her travel plans were changed, and we pray that this is a blessing for her and that she will be safe as she continues to travel abroad. We give thanks that Casey and Jocelyn are back, and we pray that their luggage will soon follow. And we know, Lord, that our friend Jesse is disappointed, that she will not be able to go to Togo now, but we know that you have things planned and work for her to do here. We pray that she may touch lives and hearts in this area and on the jury or however else you will have her work. And perhaps she may be able to go back to Africa in the spring. Give her patience and help her to see all the things you have laid out for her now in this place and in this time. Lord, we ask these things as your children, as your church, as your followers, those who call themselves Christians, help us to spread your gospel, that they may know us, they will know we are Christians by our love. May it grow and be an overwhelming and irresistible force throughout the world. We pray these things now and forevermore. Amen. The children come forward for the junior sermon.
Hello, hello. How are you? Come on down. Ruthie, you want to join us? I'm tired, too, a little bit. You know why I'm tired? Well, I'll tell you why in a second. One second. Let's make room for some Ellie, you want to have seats? Okay. You know what season it is right now? Yeah, you think it's fall, right? It is. It's not winter. No, listen. You're right. It is fall, but that's only one season. Allergy season? That's kind of where I'm going with. It's also flu season. You know what? Okay, listen. You know, when I was at Kids Club and I was teaching my lesson about different seasons in my class, you all thought it was just fall and winter, spring and summer. But there are lots of other seasons, right? Okay. Charlotte, look here. Okay, ready? I hear coughing. And you said buy cough drop seasons, right? Because I bought some today. Because it's flu season, it's cold season. People get sick around this time of year. The changing weather
makes it possible. And I've got a bit of a cold, right? Now, let me ask you this. Who likes being sick? Raise your hand. Huh? No? Who likes having a cold? I know, no one likes it, right? So we all want to do whatever we can not to get sick. How do you get sick? You get germs, right? That's what makes you sick, right? How can we prevent ourselves from catching germs? Charlotte, how do you prevent yourself from catching germs? Yeah, you don't know. That's the problem. Okay, when you cough in your arm, that's not preventing you from getting germs, but it's preventing others. That's a very good thing to do. It's very good. What else? Yes, fruits will help your system. Yes, Lily. Seen in the tissues. Yes, very good, very good. How else? How about washing your hands? Yeah, if you wash your hands, it takes care of the germs so the germs don't get you. Hand sanitizer, that's very good. What if you take hand sanitizer and I just put it all over you? Have body sanitizer, right? No, but taking showers, being clean, okay? That keeps the germs away, all right? Yes, you're right, 99% clean. So, you know what we call that? A-test. Do you know what we call that? Preventing. Prevention. That helps to keep us from catching those germs. Those germs are always around, but if we wash our hands and use sanitizer, and when we cough in our sleeve, it'll help keep us from getting them and help other people as well. How do we keep ourselves from catching sin? Sin is a little bit like germs. It's not a physical thing, right? It's not exactly in the air. Well, any kind. Go to church. That's kind of like going to the doctor, but you go before and even after. How else? Ask for forgiveness. These are all very good things. These are kind of like if you got sick, you would go to the doctor. If you got go to church, right? If you got sick, you would take medicine, right? If you caught sin, you'd ask for forgiveness. But we want to try and not catch it in the first place. How about if we read a Bible? Right? So if we know what God wants us to do, we know that God wants us to do the right thing, not the wrong thing. And we know what the right thing and the wrong thing is because we've read the Bible, right? Going to church helps for that too, okay? How about, let's see. There's not exactly a hand sanitizer, right? But there's something we can do with our hands to help it. You think if we wash our hands, it'll keep us from getting sin?
Get baptized.
Good? Yeah? How about if we pray with our hands? Right? Praying is one of the best things we can do to help us from catching sin, right? Because what do when we pray? We ask God to help us make the right decisions. We ask God to help us do the right thing, right? These are all really great things. And you know what? You guys take cough drops sometimes. They don't taste very good, right? You think they taste amazing? You just like cough drops as candy? Okay. Well, they're good. They help you make you feel better, right? Well, we don't have cough drops necessarily, but you know what we do in church? You know what we take? Not church cough drops. No.
Communion.
Yes, the communion bread. And we always take this to remind us of the body of Christ, right? To remind us of Jesus Christ who died for us, okay? Now, yeah, no, it's a different kind of bread. It's definitely a different kind of bread. But we do this every week because we know that sin is always out there to get us, and we want to be protected from it every week, okay? So I hope that you guys will wash your hands, drink your orange juice, right? Eat good food, but I also hope that you'll pray daily, pray to God every day, okay? And want to make the right decisions so we don't get sick in our hearts, whether it's germs or sin, okay? Thank you. You go to your class now. Our second scripture lesson today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 16 to 21, and that is found on page 74 of the New Testament portion of your pew Bible. Here begins the reading. Then Jesus told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, "What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops?" And then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and I will build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things that you have prepared, whose will they be?" So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Have you ever seen, I don't know what channel it's on, but there's a show called Hoarders, a show on cable, basic cable, where they would go to someone's house and a person will have collected things. I see a few people laughing. Maybe you know what I'm talking about. And I don't mean collecting a few things. I mean they have hoarded a bunch of things, so much so that their house is in disarray or to the point where it threatens to overtake their house. Now some things they hoard are good things or interesting things and other ones are not. Hoarding is a response to a feared scarcity, sometimes based in reality and sometimes not. Oftentimes, people who have experienced poverty or want in their life will never be able to feel comfortable with what they have. And so they hold on to things, they hoard them, they collect them, thinking they might need them for a rainy day. I had a friend whose grandmother, she lived through the Depression. She never felt as if she had enough food in her house. She was always afraid that one day she may need, there may be a need for extra food. And so her pantry was overstuffed to the point where she couldn't use it anymore. And then, she had a set of steps, the second set of steps. And she figured, hey, I only needed one set of steps. So she started to stack the food up that back set of steps. And of course, one of the problems with doing that is that a lot of that food was very expired. But whenever she saw something on sale, whenever she was at the store and she saw a good deal, she couldn't help herself. And so she bought more than she needed. Now, in her case, I think it was an understandable fear. I mean, even though she had abundant savings and she had a family to take care of her, she probably was never going to need that much food. You know, if you go through something like the Depression, that does not leave you. That feeling of want and insecurity just does not leave you. But hoarding is often unreasonable. And occurs where the perceived importance of what you're collecting and hoarding far exceeds its true value. That was certainly the case of one episode I always remember of someone whose house was filled with garbage. I mean, literally garbage, because they were afraid that they had this wrapper that they could use again one day and they might need it. And so it was sitting over there on top of a bunch of other stuff. Another person I remember tried to solve the problem of hoarding by buying a second house. Not just a storage space, but a second house, because they had so much stuff they needed to keep, or they thought they needed to keep. And you know, if you've seen the show, that they always have to talk with psychiatrists, because that's really what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with a psychiatric issue, the inability to let go of something because we're afraid we might need it. We just might need it in the future. And you know also what happens then too, right? If you keep so many things in your house because you might need it one day, good luck finding that thing when that day, if that day should ever come. My aunt always has that problem. She's always keeping things that she wants one day. But when that day comes, she does not know where it is. She cannot find it. And I mention that to you today not because hoarding is something that we really need to be concerned about. At the same time, though, it makes me think that Jesus was predicting the future of cable television when he told the story of his disciples of the man who hoarded things, the story that we've heard today just now, the story of the rich fool, it's called. He says, "The land of a rich man produced abundantly." And he thought to himself, what should I do? I have no place to store my crops. And then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and I will build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and all my goods. I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.'" And so in this story, he's called the rich fool. We could also call him the rich hoarder because he hoarded food. And food is, of course, a good thing that you would want to do, want to hold on to. But even then, it exceeds its own value. It can only last so long. One person can only have so much. And God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life is demanded of you. And the things that you have prepared, whose will they be?" So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God. So Jesus is trying to give his disciples, his audience, his crowd, a lesson on how much to save and how much to give. It's also a lesson on life itself. Life is not guaranteed, and we do not know how many days we will have, but in many ways, that's actually the root of the problem. I mean, sometimes we save so much because we think to ourselves, what if we have many, 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 many more years to go? We have to have enough to live on. But then what if we save so much and then we only have a little bit left, and what then? So Jesus likes to emphasize being rich towards God in the here and now. Jesus often talks about the present. Why do not worry about tomorrow? How can, by worrying about tomorrow, give you any more time of your life? That's a bad paraphrase. I know. I do apologize. But the gist of the message is the same. Jesus often tells his disciples to worry about today. And it kind of goes against our own instincts. I mean, we always hear the parable of the fable of the ant and the grasshopper. And, you know, the grasshopper was the foolish one, and the ant was the reasonable one, the responsible one. And we know that if we only live for today, that in and of itself is being irresponsible. That in and of itself is being bad stewards of what God has given us. But we also know that as we save for the future and as we prepare for tomorrow, we must be rich towards God. And by this, Jesus is speaking of sharing your wealth to help others. In Jesus' time, this could be done by giving to the treasury of the temple, as in the story of the widow's mite we heard last week. And of course, it could also refer to acting like a good Samaritan, in which a person uses their wealth to provide for those in need. For the rich, meaning this parable, he was rich with food. And so he could cut out the middleman and help his neighbors directly by sharing his food with those in need. I'm sure you've had a season in which your garden blooms or grows abundantly. And it's a wonderful thing if you can take your excess vegetables and can them for the winter. That is a wonderful thing, but I hope you also will share some with your neighbor too. That is one of the greatest things of a garden, that it is enjoyed by many, many people. But Jesus, it should be pointed out, is not speaking against saving or preparing for tomorrow. He's not against saving, he's not against preparing for tomorrow. He's not warning people against this. We need to save for rainy days, and for our own future, and for a future purchase that we cannot afford today, like a house, a car, college education. But if we save only for the purpose of amassing money, then we resemble the rich fool. When saving becomes an end rather than the means to reach our goal, our money will not be spent for the purpose for which God gives it to us, to be used in the first place, which is to use in service to Him as a means to help those in need and extending His kingdom. As we come into the season of November, as we come into the season of Thanksgiving, we always talk about stewardship and our need to be good stewards of what God has given us. And I must always let you know that as a minister, I'm as uncomfortable talking about money as you might be thinking about it. But our stewardship emphasis is never a call to guilt people into emptying their savings for God, on behalf of God. We should save. And we should have savings for future purposes or rainy days. And we should have retirement accounts so that we can relax, eat, drink, and be merry and enjoy the days that God has given us. We just shouldn't save so much for the future that we do not save for the present. And really, giving to the church is saving for the present and saving for the future, just in a different way. It's wise and prudent to think of the future, but only if we have taken care of the present first. Even better is when we are taking care of the present helps us to build for the future. And that's what stewardship is all about. Our present is indeed blessed. We want to ensure that our future will be blessed as well. We want to give now to help build for the future just as others have done before. Just as we have done before. You know, my sister-in-law, she posted a picture this week, sent it to my wife, And it was very funny because it showed a picture of a Monopoly board that was overturned, laying on the floor, and there were pieces scattered everywhere, and cards scattered everywhere, and money scattered everywhere. And the caption simply said, "How a standard game of Monopoly ends." And she sent it to my wife because that's how every game between her and my wife ended when they were children. You know, there's that moment that when you're playing that game, when you're playing Monopoly, there's that moment when it becomes apparent that you're not going to be able to win. And the problem is, with Monopoly, it's a long, slow, painful end to that game. And so you really left two choices. Your choice is to play it out and be graceful and gracious in losing, or to flip over the table and leave. And that's the choice my sister-in-law chose every single time. Why do I share that with you? Because it reminds me of the story that a writer, John Ortberg, shared. He tells growing up with his grandmother, who was a ruthless competitor, and they would play Monopoly. And they would do it all the time. Every week they would play, and she would always win. And she'd beat his brother, too. But one day he won. One day John, at about 8 years old, managed to beat his grandmother in Monopoly, and it was one of the best days of his childhood. He says, "As most kids do, I made the most of my rare victory. I raked all the play money and tokens and markers towards me, and I celebrated and I gloated arrogantly about my triumph." And his grandmother smiled and simply said, "Just remember, John, it all goes back in the box. All the money, all the hotels, all the game tokens, all the cards, they all go back in the box at the end of the game." And it's true. It makes you wonder what people get so upset about when they lose that game. It makes you wonder what people get so upset about when they don't get what they want. It makes you wonder what people get so excited about when they do, because it all goes back in the box. Everything we have must go back in the box. Everything God has given to us in our lifetime, at the end, will go back in the box. We don't get to take it with us. Everything we have will be left to someone, so isn't it wise to give in your lifetime to the someone who gave you everything you have in the first place? I say this now as we get close to the conclusion of our stewardship emphasis, because next week will be our last Sunday. And in your bulletin today, there's a pledge card. And you can fill it out now, or you can take it home and pray about what you think you'll be able to give to the church. And there will be cards mailed this week, and there will be cards in the bulletin next week as well. But I hope that by next week, you'll be able to make a decision on how much you'll be able to pledge. Remember that the pledges to our churches are not binding. They're just not contracts or legal agreements. If financial circumstances change in the year ahead, you can change your pledge, absolutely. You may also pledge low to ensure that you will have no trouble meeting it. What is important is that you do make a pledge of some kind in order to eliminate the guesswork that the budget committee has to do in planning the budget every year. Last year we had 26 pledges, but we know we have many more people and families who would give generously to our church, graciously and gratefully. So we hope to get as many people as possible to make some sort of pledge to help the budget committee this year as we prepare for the budget in 2016. Next Sunday, we will place all the pledges into the offering tray and offer them to God as a sign of our having been blessed by God and as a sign of our pledge to be a blessing to others. We as a church have done so much. For over 180 years, almost 185, we have served this community and have overcome so much. And we are doing well this year. We're strong, but there's so much more to do. This is a time now to build upon the foundation that God has given us, a foundation that has been laid by people who have gone before. Time for us to remember that eventually it all goes back into the box, even us. And when we do, the question is not how much money did we have left, how much money was left in our accounts, how much money do we have to give to our heirs. The question is, how do we use our blessings to bless others, even people who we may never have met? Let us, each of us, give to God while we can, because although we cannot take it with us, we can send it on ahead. And that is what we are blessed to do now, this day, and every day that God gives us. Amen. And now the community comes together around the Lord's table. All believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of your membership in this congregation, are invited to take the bread of life and the cup of forgiveness. Please take the emblems as they are passed and partake as best suits your meditation. Our communion hymn this morning in the Chalice Hymnal is number 528, Give Thanks. I enjoy that hymn, even though it is repetitive, and actually, because it is. Normally, if you have a song that is repetitive, you know, I don't like that. But that really fits that hymn, because we should give thanks repeatedly. Paul tells us to pray without ceasing. We should also give thanks without ceasing. The theologian Meister Eckhart once famously said that in the end, if the only prayer you ever say is thank you, it will be enough. And I think also one of my other favorite hymns that we sang last week, They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love. You could also just as easily say, they will know we are Christians by our thankfulness. Because if we believe that the God of all creation has created us and made us especially and then also sent his Son to save us, what could keep us from saying thanks? And yet, we know that often in our life we complain, often in our life we are upset, we want more. And I don't know that we should be ashamed of that. I mean, we're human beings, we're not perfect. But in the end, we have a lot of things to give thanks for. And we remember that at all times, especially now in this season of Thanksgiving. We celebrate all that God has given us, our life itself. We do celebrate the things that we have. We know there are people with more. We also know there are people with much less. We even give thanks sometimes for the troubles that we run into because they teach us things. The difficulties in our life that give us the lessons that we need to learn. We often do not are thankful for them in that moment. But maybe later on we are. I know recently I had several problems with our cars. And it was a very inconvenient thing. And I took care of them, and we went and had to sit and wait for the repairs, and of course they cost a lot of money. But I remember having this moment where I thought to myself, when I was growing up, this sort of thing would have set us back for months, and maybe not be able to fix. And I remember also that when I got my first car, how I lived in fear of something being wrong because I couldn't afford to fix it, and something always sounded wrong. Always sounded wrong. But I gave thanks knowing that I was able to call someone and they came and fixed it. And yes, I didn't want to have to pay that bill, but I knew that it was going to be okay. And we're all in different situations in our life, and we all have different amounts of wealth, and we all have different blessings. But we know that we have the greatest blessing of all, our Lord Jesus Christ with us at all times and places, to give us the peace of mind that this too shall pass and that he is with us. I know that feeling, that belief has gotten me through many things in my life, and I know that it has gotten you through many things in your life as well. Above all, that is the greatest blessing, this idea that God is with us, this idea that we will celebrate completely in a time of Advent when that comes. But for now, let us give thanks. Let us give thanks with a grateful heart that the Lord God is with us each day and in each moment. That we have been blessed with many things, material and spiritual, and that we can call upon him for help at all times and all places. Let us not just give thanks, but let us give thanks with indeed a grateful heart. Now this morning, let us pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come here this morning with heavy hearts. We just don't understand why things happen the way they do. We don't understand why people hurt people they don't know, or why they hurt anybody anyway. We don't understand why the weather damages property and kills people. And we just don't understand that. We don't understand why one person is healthy and the next person struggles day in and day out fighting a disease or a mental illness. But we do understand that you are there, and at least we have someone that we can come to in times of worry, in times of fear, in times of sickness, that will be with us, that will love us, and will comfort us. And we'll be the one that will keep trying, no matter what, to make things right again. Amen.
For a hand unto you, it was also handed on to me, that on the night when the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread. And after he blessed it, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Eat this as often as you do in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he took the cup. And after he blessed it, he poured it out and said, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood that is poured out for you. Drink this as often as you do in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Now the community responds to the Word of God. If you wish to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, rededicate your life to God, or transfer into the fellowship of this congregation. We invite you to come forward as we sing. Our invitational hymn is number 606 in the Child's Hymnal. God, whose giving knows no ending, verses 1 and 3, let us stand as we sing. Thank you. Now let us bow our heads for the benediction. Clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, now and forevermore. Amen.